Welcome to the GC Podcast, a podcast to help you develop into the healthiest ministry leader you can be by sharing practical ministry experience. Here are your hosts, Anthony and Ruel.
Welcome, friends, to the GC Podcast. I'm your host, Anthony Mullins, and with me is the producer of the GC Podcast, the man behind the scenes, the man with the plan. His name is Ruel Inario. My man Ruel is the one who ensures the GC Podcast sounds amazing through his editing skills, and he is the one who distributes the pod through our various channels. Ru originally hails from the Philippines. Shout out to all of our Filipino listeners, and he is GCI home office staff with the media team. Ruel, how in the world are you, and what's good in your life?
First of all, I really appreciate you inviting me here, and it's a privilege to be here working with the media team. God is awesome, and the media team has been working really hard these past weeks, especially during the pandemic, and we've been producing tools and content to make sure that we were able to equip our churches across the globe. It's been challenging, but also a lot of fun.
It has been fun, and you're very skilled at what you do, so thank you, brother, for all your good work. And so let's turn our attention to this time of global pandemic. Why do you believe churches and GCI should have a digital worship platform?
Great question. During these times, I think we have a lot of churches really struggling to connect with their members. So I think it's really vital to keep that relationship going. Some churches don't even know like where to start or what to do. And sometimes churches think that it's too technical or too complicated, like what camera I should use or what microphone sounds good or what lighting or what TV should be in the background. But I think it's really just grabbing your phone and just recording yourself speaking and preaching and putting it out there, like what you're doing in GCI Hickory. And that's what I really appreciate, being able to engage with your members. And I think that's what's important with what Joe's going to talk about later in this podcast.
Yeah. Well, some of the churches are starting to regather and have physical worship services again. Do you think these churches should continue to provide a digital worship platform once they do regather? Why or why not?
Yeah, definitely. Even after the pandemic, it's still important to have a digital worship platform because not only that you're able to connect to members who can't attend, but you're also able to reach out to a far bigger audience. People who are in a different continent or in a different time zone could still listen to your live stream. And not only that, what I really love about live streams is that after it's streamed, the video stays on the social media platform. So I think that's really great because if you missed a verse or if you missed a part of the message that you want to go back to, you could just rewind and hit pause.
Yeah, you're right on. The audience reach is so much more significant now as we connect with people in the love venue. So we encourage churches to continue forward with their digital worship service. So Ruel, thank you for your keen insights. Now let's listen to my interview with Pastor Joe Brannon. Hello, friends, and welcome to the latest episode of GC Podcast. This podcast is devoted to exploring practical ministry expressions in the context of Grace Communion International Churches. I'm your host, Anthony Mullins, and today I have the awesome privilege of interviewing Joe Brannon. Joe lives and serves as a pastor in Surry Hills, Oklahoma. He's the husband to Megan, and they have three wonderful children. Just ask them, they'll tell you. And for the purposes of this GC Podcast episode, he's a pastor who is technically savvy, who can give us, all of us, insights in terms of providing digital worship services. So before we get to that, Joe B., thank you for joining us today. Let me start out by asking you this. Would you be willing to sing the theme song from Oklahoma the Musical, please?
Absolutely not.
and I knew your answer would be no. And because I've heard you sing, I'm celebrating your answer here this morning. But that's not really my first question. How are you and what's good in your life today?
Man, we have been doing very well. Me, Megan, and three kids. With everything that's been going on with the pandemic, everybody going through the same thing. you know, we have our ups and our downs. It depends on day to day, but overall, life is good. The kids are doing really well, considering being cooped up for most of this. Megan has been able to go back to work, and we don't have to quarantine her because she works in the medical field. And so she's been able to still be a part of the family, which has been fantastic. I want to praise God for that. And there's a lot of challenges going on right now. And with my personality, as you know, Anthony, I love change. I love a challenge. And this is everything above is going on right now.
Yeah, you'll love it. But hey, can we hold off a little bit, Lord? We've got plenty yeah. of challenge right now. And speaking of that, you know, just before we jumped on to this podcast, you know, we were talking. There's no pastor playbook for a pandemic, you know, how we navigate through this. And during this time, pastors have gotten accustomed and acquainted with things like Zoom and Facebook Live and YouTube Live and all the ways that you can digitally stream a worship service. So as we get started talking about these practical tools and to our benefit, let me ask you this. Do you think that churches should continue to digitally stream worship services once they are regathered physically? And if so, why?
I guess my question would be, why haven't they been doing it in the first place? And because those who have been doing it already, when this pandemic hit, it was a seamless, for the most part, transition for them. And so many of us, because our church wasn't doing it at the time, we've been talking about it for quite some time, but with me being new here in the area as the pastor, there were so many other things to focus on that we just kind of put on the back burner. Well, this forced us to. So absolutely, I believe that they should continue doing it. And here's the reason why, the simple reason, communication. You know, what do we do when in our worship services? We proclaim God's inclusive love for all humanity through song, music, preaching, and sharing. We're communicating. And everything that we do, Anthony, as you know, as a pastor, from parking lot to the send-off or the benediction, is to communicate God's love. And communication has evolved over thousands and thousands of years. And the most recent one was the one that had the biggest shift, most recent, was 500 plus years ago, and it was the Gutenberg printing press. And so now we are in one of the biggest shifts in communication that we have seen ever, with the internet and being online, and with every evolution of communication, there has been a major culture shift in how humans interact with one another and how they do life and how our world is ran. And so with this internet and with this shift, you know, are we willing to meet our culture where they are and where they will always be? Because the internet, online, digital, it's not going away. And so as a church, we need to step into where our culture is and meet them where they are.
So as you talk about communication, obviously you, Joe Brannon, have chosen a particular digital platform to communicate to your community. Why don't you tell us about that and why you chose the platform you chose?
Yeah, so we chose to do Facebook Live. And there's multiple reasons for it. One of the main reasons is we already had somewhat of a social media presence in our community through Facebook. So because CJ Malmcar really was running our Facebook for most of the time before I showed up, and then her and I do it together. So we got a lot of traction on Facebook, and more people were getting on Facebook. And what we are finding is the ease of being able to share our online worship experience, our online worship services. So it's really easy for people to click and share it on their wall. If you're not Facebook savvy, some of this may not make any sense to you, but once you get into it, it'll start making sense. So some of it was just ease because we already had that established relationship in our community, and a lot of our members were already on Facebook. But also, Facebook, honestly, as far as a social media platform for the biggest and broadest range of ages and demographics, Facebook is still king or queen, however you want to look at it. YouTube is a much younger demographic. And to go live with YouTube, you have to have certain criteria to go live. I don't know what those are off the top of my head, but it's a little bit harder to go live on YouTube. So that's why we chose Facebook.
Can you tell us about the results so far, or what you've learned along the way as you've been doing Facebook Live messages and worship services?
How long is this podcast supposed to be?
You've got 30 seconds. Go. No, take as much time. This is what we're really interested in. So how's it been going?
So when we initially started, it was unbelievable to see the response. As you know, Anthony, and for our listeners, so they know, we meet currently, or used to meet, in a double-wide mobile home. And when you got 45 people in there, we are already at capacity. I mean, almost 100% capacity at just 45 people. And when we started this online worship service and we were streaming it, you can see how many people were on at one time watching it live. And we were averaging in the 40s, which was pretty phenomenal. But one of the things that we started to notice is at the end, the views, after a few days, we were seeing people viewing the video up into the thousands. So we had 1,300, 1,400 views on some of these videos. And, you know, one of the remarkable things that we have found, not just on the numbers of the views and that kind of thing, has been seeing the connection with people that we haven't had a connection with in years. Some of my old-time church friends that were attending this church when I was here as a teenager, they're starting to hop back on, and they're starting to watch digitally, and they're actually commenting, they're connecting. And we're seeing family members that have been kind of disconnected from the church. They're quote, visiting our church, except online. Megan has a family member that is visiting from out of state. And she's been coming on a regular basis, and she's even sent a message to Megan saying, what you guys are doing is exactly what I need to hear. Like, I've been needing to hear this. God has been speaking to me for quite some time, and this came at the right time, and he has been opening up doors, and he has been changing my life. This lady is from out of town. She can't come and visit us. And so to see this life transformation happen on an online platform, to us, it's like, yeah, we have to keep doing this.
Oh, it's life-giving. And you've spoken to this a bit already, but how is it in a live platform like Facebook? How do you connect with those viewers? What steps have you taken to consider how you can continue to invite them into the life of your church? I'm sure people are wanting, our listening audience, they're really curious about that aspect of it, because you want to be able to connect the dots. So what does that look like for you guys?
So just like our physical building, you know, we have our Hope venue, and we have a vision and a mission for our Hope venue, and we want people to be loved well when they come and visit, whether you're a first-time guest or whether you're somebody that's been attending for 40 years. When you pull up into the parking lot, we want you to feel loved, included, welcomed, and know that you belong there. So just like our physical building, I started asking our team, our leadership team, how can we take that mentality and put it on a digital platform, even though we can't see face-to-face? And so what we started doing is we started having people that were assigned as greeters. So when we start the live stream, we have members that are part of the team. They start greeting people. And when they see people pop up, they immediately start greeting them, saying, good morning, so glad that you're here. And they are connecting with those people in the comment section. And so that's one way of also including some of the members when we can't get together like this. So that's one way of doing it. But then I've had to adjust how I speak. And I've been working on this for the past several weeks, but I want people to engage. Right now, you know, you're talking at a piece of glass and metal and plastic. It is not easy to talk to a camera. And so I have to try to visualize on the other side of that camera and visualize people. And so I will ask people, hey, you know, tell us where you're watching from. You know, if you want to, give us a thumbs up, or you know, if you can hear us. This past week I put out a challenge, a 7-day prayer challenge, and I asked them, hey, do the raised hand emoji if you want to accept this challenge of the 7-day prayer challenge. So I'm trying to figure out ways to communicate, to engage with them, to get a response back from them. So that's some of the things that we've been working on.
Yeah, those are really good practical tips. And let's do this. Let's step back for just a moment, because Joe, you are ahead of the game in many respects. You're savvy. You understand the technical platforms, but our listening audience is a mixed bag. We have pastors and ministry leaders, some who are hearing about Zoom and these live platforms for the first time. What advice would you give them if they're not quite sure where to start or how to maintain it once they're physically gathering again? Would you offer up some thoughts to them?
That's a tough one. I'd have to say, first and foremost, to you pastors and the tech folks, don't fall into the comparison trap. It's real easy to look at what other churches are doing, especially these big mega churches that have been doing online for 10 plus years, and just think, there's no way I can compete with that. Or you try really hard to get to that level. Don't fall into the comparison trap. You know, do the best that you can with what you got. And just there's plenty of resources out there to learn the technical aspect of it, but be yourself and try to put yourself on the other side of the screen. And what is it that you need to hear as a listener to help you feel included and engaged? You know, I'm assuming you probably don't want to get into the technical aspect of it, like get certain internet speed and make sure you're, you know, plugged in with your Ethernet and cameras and lighting and all that stuff. I'm assuming you don't want to get into that, because that's endless. That's never ending.
Yeah, but those are helpful details for anyone, even if it's just a one person operation right now doing a digital feed. Just knowing that lighting and camera does matter. So let's talk about platforms first, and then we'll go back to some of the pieces of equipment that will support that effort. What digital tools should pastors and ministry leaders be aware of right now if they haven't come into an encounter with the various platforms that are out there? What would you recommend and why?
Well, What I use, I mean, there's several ways of doing it. I've heard of one pastor in our region. He's figured out a way to take Zoom, which is a video conferencing software. He's figured out how to take Zoom and actually stream it to Facebook Live. I don't know how to do that. I haven't looked into that, because I went a different route. But it's, from what he has said, you can control everything from Zoom, and then it's sending it to Facebook Live. So that kind of creates some flexibility where you can include other people into your worship service. Of course, there's other platforms like there's an open broadcasting software, which is a broadcasting software. And if you've never worked with a presenting program like Easy Worship or Pro Presenter, or you're not real savvy with like PowerPoint, I wouldn't recommend it. But if you have a little bit of techiness in you, a little bit of tech background, especially with those programs, it's another option. And what it does is you can bring in all sorts of different aspects into this software, and it will actually take a what's called a streaming key that you get from whatever platform that you're projecting to, whether it's Facebook or YouTube. You get what's called a streaming key, and you put it into the settings of this software, and then when you start to stream on that software, it automatically sends the signal to whatever platform you're using. And you, man, I'll tell you what, you can do a lot of stuff with OBS, with the open broadcast software, a ton of stuff. That's how we bring lyrics on the screen when Megan is doing worship live. We can pull in scripture. We're able to bring in other videos of people speaking and a host and graphics. Like, we are able to do all of that because of that software. So those are kind of the software pieces and the platforms that I'm really fully aware of.
Well, that's good and very helpful. And as I've talked with pastors around Grace Communion International, especially here in the U.S., it seems like the two major platforms are Zoom and Facebook Live. Now, most have already chosen a digital platform, but in case they haven't and they want to enter into the arena of digital worship, you've spoken to Facebook Live a bit. What are some of the advantages, disadvantages going either way, Joe?
Yeah, so with those two platforms that you were mentioning, they do kind of serve two different purposes. Zoom, you can see the person face to face. You can have direct interaction as if you're communicating, talking with somebody. You can see their body language, and so it's a little bit easier to connect in person digitally than Facebook Live. On Facebook Live, you have a better chance of extending your reach, and because people can share that video, it can really spread out much bigger. You can actually, and to talk to the pastors and the churches that are trying to engage their focus community, Facebook Live, if you are really trying to engage your focus community, Facebook is the way to go, because you can actually do things like boost. You can pay for a boost, which is kind of promoting a video or your page, and you can actually narrow it down to a certain area that people see. And so they'll look at zip codes, and they will actually boost whatever post to a particular area, which is an invaluable tool. And usually it's pretty inexpensive. I've heard of some pastors doing like $10, $20, and they've like quadrupled their reach as far as many people as it got to. So we use Zoom personally for, of course, meetings, but we also been using Zoom for our children's ministry. We found a huge need on needing to do that to stay connected with the kids, even because they're going to be some of the ones that are forgotten about the easiest, because they don't have the same kind of technology. And so I worked with our Hope Venue coordinator, Matt and Nikki Payne, who happens to oversee our children's ministry, and they worked with their teams on developing a weekly pre-K connect, and then also an elementary connect Zoom call. And the teachers get on there, they have an activity, they've been mailing stuff to the kids, like coloring pages, and they've been connecting really, really well every single week. And it happens on different days. One day is on Saturday, and one day is Tuesday afternoon, I think it is. And it's the one Zoom call that my kids actually like. Even with the school Zoom calls, they didn't like those, but these Zoom calls, they really like it, and there can be really good interaction.
Yeah, that's good. And for churches that are using Zoom for their Sunday worship celebration, they may be thinking, okay, this has been a really helpful tool. It's maximized our connection during a time of pandemic. But once we go back to regathering as a fellowship, we'll no longer need a platform. But what I hear you saying is it allows you, maybe through Facebook Live better than any other instrument out there, to connect in the love venue with your focus mm-hmm. community and neighborhood. That's a powerful thing you're saying there. And this is where the Hope Venue and Love Venue can work together. So what are some of the questions, Joe, that pastors need to be asking themselves as they're working on the reopening plans, as it relates to digital platforms? What are the questions they really need to ask, not only themselves, but their leadership teams?
Well, first and foremost, you know, as far as for me and for our church, the question that we're asking is, how do we continue this when we do start meeting together? It's not a, you know, are we going to continue it? It's how are we going to continue it? And some of the questions is, how do we be the church digitally? Just as much as if they were meeting physically. Because, like I said, we are in the midst of a huge culture shift right now. My kids, we're talking about one generation. My kids, they don't know what life is like without internet. And so their whole life is going to be online. Like their lives are going to be intertwined and integrated with digital things and with online presence. And so how is it that we can be the church to those people that have no inkling of what it's like to have life without internet? And so that, to me, that's a really great question for pastors to ask, is how do we continue an online presence when we start meeting together?
Yeah. And you've already said it. I mean, you're going to do it. You're saying to all of our pastors, why haven't you already been doing this? And what's it going to look like once we regather? Because you need to continue to keep it going. So let me ask you this, Joe, because all of us are wrestling with this question. How does your Hope Venue change once you do physically gather again? Especially in light of this digital platform, what's that going to look like in your church?
That is a question that we are constantly asking ourselves now, as we're getting together as a leadership team, because it's constantly changing as we get new information of what's going to be reopening, how are things going to look 2-3 months down the road. You have to constantly be asking that question. And when we started talking about planting into Surrey Hills, one of the things that we said, and one of the things that I've really pushed in all of the leadership meetings, and both Mikes helped with this, Mike Rasmussen and Mike Ermey, is everything is on the table. We are going through everything, and everything is on the table. We're evaluating everything that we do, and does it fulfill our mission and our vision, and does it align with our core values? Well, what I've been telling the team now is, well, we thought everything was on the table before, but now everything is on the mm-hmm. table, because we have to rethink. We got to reimagine the future and what it's going to look like. Because for us, it's not just about reopening, because we are replanting into this area. And so it's not like, well, what's the phases to reopening? We're already talking to one another in leadership and our advisor team of saying, we may never end up back at that double wide mobile home where we're meeting right now. We may never go back there. So what does that look like moving forward? How are we to be the church online? How can we still connect? And what we're starting to work on right now is prioritizing small groups. Because things are starting to loosen up here in Oklahoma a little bit, and we're being very cautious. I say loosen up a little bit. They've been loosening up a lot. We're almost fully open, I believe, here in Oklahoma. And so I am making the shift of telling the team, listen, we're staying online. And right now our game plan, just to kind of give some insight, our game plan is we're going to stay online. And then in the next couple of months, we're eventually going to shift to where we actually do our live streaming from the Double Wide mobile home, but we're only going to bring in the essential people to accomplish that task. So praise team, tech team, host, and preacher. So keeping it to a bare minimum, and we're pretty much changing that Double Wide, our current building, we're changing it into a makeshift studio. And what we're doing is we're prioritizing small groups. How can we love everybody, all of our members, really well right now? And something I wanted to say too, Anthony, to kind of go along with this, as far as the digital platform and asking the question of how can we be the church as if we were meeting in the physical building, is what about when somebody new hops online and they actually start engaging with us online? How do we connect with them? How do we integrate them when we can't meet in person? To tell a quick story, 3 weeks ago, we were doing our online thing, and somebody pops on, and she says, "We just moved here back in September, and we've been looking for a church. We haven't been able to find a church anywhere, and I'm really liking what I'm hearing right now." And the good thing is that's when I was preaching, so it wasn't just Megan's awesome worship. by the end of it, and of course, our people, because we had that vision of we are going to be welcoming and warm and inviting and loving people as they come on, our people, our members were saying, "We're so glad that you're here. Welcome here," as if she was walking into the doors of our church, and they were welcoming her. And then at the end, she was like, "I am in tears right now. This is exactly what I needed to hear." And she goes, "I can't wait to meet you all in person." And then, of course, our people, being the amazing people that they are, they rally behind her, and they're like, "We are so happy that you're here. You're always welcome," and that kind of thing. Anthony, she showed up for the next two weeks. And then last week, she came on at the very end. She goes, "I got so busy cleaning the house that I totally forgot to get on here." And of course, we responded to that. And we started asking the question, what do we do with a new guest that is wanting to engage with us as a church? Yeah. And what was I going to say? That was another aspect to this.
No, that's good. I mean, that's the question we have to be asking, because in a Zoom broadcast, we're basically we're ministering to our people, our congregants within our church. Mm-hmm. But on a live platform like that, suddenly the love venue opens up. And the question, yep, I think all of us as pastors have to be asking ourselves, and I love the way your church has rallied around this first and second time guest and continuing to find ways to include her. But we have to ask those questions. And like your experience in Surrey Hills, I know many pastors are experiencing, they're connecting with people they never thought they would engage with from a digital platform. It's been a gift from God, and we do need to be asking ourselves, what does it look like to include them in the life of the church going forward, especially if it's not going to be a full worship service with everybody in the building, like you said. So what I hear you saying, Joe, and correct me if I'm wrong, you can be the church without actually going to church in a physical space. And that's what we're all learning. Is that right?
Amen. Amen. That's exactly right. I think God is using this. I don't believe God created the virus to bring hurt and pain like what it's doing. But I think God uses difficult times to push the church outside the walls. And I think that is what's going on right now, is the church is being faced with the real question of, are you actually going to be the church in the world around you, or are you just looking at the building as being the church?
Yeah. Yeah, I've been saying to our congregation, and I think you believe the same thing, Joe, if we look the same as a church post-COVID-19, we've blown it. We've missed an opportunity. Like we have to be better. And God has given us an opportunity to step into something really beautiful in our communities, to love them and to be a faithful expression of who Jesus Christ is to a dying, hurting world. And I so appreciate what you are doing. So let me ask you this. If there's a church that is considering having a digital live stream in their physical worship service once they regather, but they don't have the equipment and they're not even quite sure where to start, what are the basics they need to have to get going?
I mean, you can go as simple as, first of all, you got to have internet, obviously. If you're wanting to go live while you're actually having your worship service, so you got to have internet, and it's best to have a strong internet connection of some sort. It could vary from place to place, so you want to check the specs of your internet provider and that kind of thing. If you can plug in like old school style, like with an Ethernet cable, that creates consistency, a consistent signal, which is really, really good. That's what you really want. And what you're looking at when it comes to internet is your upload speed, not your download speed. You want to look at your upload speed, and you want that to be as consistent as possible. And so internet, of course, number one. And then number two, you can go as simple as just using a tablet or a phone. I know a lot of churches that are using their phone and they're just going live on their Facebook page, and some churches have it like 30 feet away still. And it's not the greatest audio, but at least it's something. But if you want to step it up a little bit, get a laptop, something that's probably newer than 5 years, and then buy yourself a little USB webcam, a high-definition webcam that you can just kind of plug and play, and try to get good audio to it. There's different ways of doing that, but some of these webcams can actually have good audio on, like a good microphone on them. But Anthony, I've seen your microphone. You have what seems to be just a really simple USB plug-in, and it sounds really, really, really good. You don't have to spend thousands of dollars to do this.
Yeah, that's helpful, because as I've talked with pastors, especially pastors who are a little bit older and there's nobody that really has a technical background, they're just looking for what steps do I need to take to get started? And you're right, just a simple connection, a simple camera, a simple microphone can do the job. But what I hear you saying, Joe, very succinctly and boldly is, we need to do this, church. We need to connect with our communities, and the digital platforms are a great way to do it. Can I get an amen, Joe?
Amen. And I want to say this, that if, Pastor, if you don't know how to do it and it scares you, then find somebody younger that knows this stuff. And I'm not saying it has to be a teenager. There's people in their 30s and 40s and even 50s that know this stuff really well. Find that person that has a passion for it, they love it, and invest in them with your time and with the church's resources. And you'll be amazed at what can happen when you start investing in somebody else. You don't have to do it.
I love that, because I kept saying pastor, but we are in a team-based environment, and that way we can include the younger generation, even maybe somebody outside of your church,
yes,
who has the ability that can lean into what the Lord is doing in your midst. That's such good advice. Joe, this has been awesome talking to you again. You're one of my favorites. You started and launched the GC podcast, and this has been an awesome platform for practical ministry advice. And it's our tradition here now to end by asking some fast-hitting questions. And I'd love for you, if you're willing to play along, to give whatever answer comes to your mind. 7 questions. Are you willing to do this?
Let's do it. Go.
Your favorite time of day?
Early morning.
Fill in the blank. I'm happiest when what?
I'm hanging out with my wife.
What's a pet peeve you have that people should know about?
Oh no.
Be truthful.
I know. There's so many of them. Not picking up after yourself.
Oh. Here's my next question. What place did you finish in our fantasy football league this past year?
Oh, bro, come on. I finished at the very, very top of the bottom.
Hey, at least in God's way of doing things, finishing last is actually good. So well done, sir. What movie always makes you laugh?
Oh, I'd have to say Ace Ventura, Pet Detective, first one.
Ooh, that's a good one.
Or Dumb and Dumber. Dumb and Dumber. That one, hands down.
What is, and I sure hope they don't call this episode Dumb and Dumber. Hopefully not. So the first thing that pops into your mind when you think of Jesus?
Oh, compassion.
And finally, what do you want to be known for?
You're trying to get me to cry, aren't you? I want to be known that I was a great dad.
You are, brother. I've seen it in action. So, Joe, thank you for your time. I think the practical guidance that you've given us in terms of entering into the foray of the digital platforms has been really, really helpful. So thank you for your expertise and your time. We bless you, brother. And so as we like to close out the GC podcast, I'd love it if you would pray for all of our pastors and ministry leaders around the world that are navigating this pandemic and trying to find new ways to connect with their communities. Would you be willing?
Absolutely.
Thank you.
Father, Son, Spirit, we just come before you open-handed, to receive what it is that you have for us, but also to let go of what it is that is hindering us from experiencing you and seeing you at work during this very difficult time. And so right now, I pray that your spirit of peace just comes over all the pastors around the globe, and all the ministry leaders. This is such an unusual time right now that all of us are going through the same thing, that it's not one particular group of people, it's not one particular area, it's not one country, it is all of us as humanity. And so we find ourselves united in so many ways, even though there's still so much to work on with the segregation and the issues going on. But I pray for peace and a comfort right now, that you help all pastors and ministry leaders find the rest that they need through this very challenging and difficult time, that they're able to just take time out and seek your face and not become overwhelmed by all the what-ifs and the unknowns and the uncertainties, but that we can rest in the fact that, Lord, this is not a shock to you. You've already got us, and you will never leave us, and you will never forsake us. We love you, and we pray this in through your Son, Jesus. Amen.
So let's talk about it, Ruel. What was the most significant insight Joe provided to our listening audience?
Joe brought up a lot of good points, and I think what really struck me the most was when he asked, are we willing to meet our culture where they are? We're not just preaching, or we're not just reaching out to people within the four walls, but we're reaching out. You know, we're trying to reach out to more people, letting them know at this time, at this moment right now, that God loves them. And that's what Jesus really wants us to tell his people, and that's what he wants us to do.
Yeah, right on. And these digital worship platforms are a function, as you know, of the Hope Venue, the Sunday morning worship gathering of the church. So, Rue, what other tools does Grace Community International provide for the Hope Venue to support pastors and leaders of ministry?
Great question, Anthony. People can just go to our website on resources.gci.org. And if they go to the upper right, under church leaders, under venue resources, they could find a lot of our church hacks there for all of our different venues. Also, if you need any help in getting resources or asking for feedback, the GCI media team has created a Facebook group called GCI creative community. And we've had people from all over the globe join us and post questions about what to do, or even just showing us local projects that they've been doing in their local churches. And you guys are welcome to join us there.
Yeah, and I have found as a church pastor, Rue, that those church hacks and resources are so timely and helpful. So thank you to you and the team for organizing those details for us. And friends, we just want to say thank you for listening. I want to thank Rue for joining me. And if you like what you heard, give us a rating wherever you're listening to this podcast. It really does help us get the word out and for others to join the conversation. So until next time, keep living and sharing the gospel.
We want to thank you for listening to this episode of the GC Podcast. We hope you have found value in it to become a healthier leader. We would love to hear from you. If you have a suggestion on a topic, or if there is someone who you think we should interview, email us at info@gci.org. Remember, healthy churches start with healthy leaders. Invest in yourself and your leaders.